Would you bow with me as we ask God to bless the word tonight? Father, we are thankful for Scripture. It's your self-revelation that teaches us many things. And Father, as we look at a part of Scripture that has some dark spots in it, we realize that even through the mistakes of others, we can learn as well. And so we trust, Father, that as we look tonight as the deceitful woman, the deceitful mother, that we can realize what you are really bringing, a message of importance to each of us as we go forward in faith as well. So watch over us as we read and as we share the word tonight, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to invite your attention tonight to Genesis 27. Genesis 27. It's one of those very familiar passages in Scripture. One of those stories that doesn't always have a good lesson to teach, and yet I think we can learn a lot of lessons from it tonight. I'm going to start reading at verses 1, and I'll read through 29, and then I'm going to go down to 41 and read to the end. Read through 46. Hear then the word of the Lord. And when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and he said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. And Isaac said, "I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and your bow. Go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare for me the kind of tasty food that I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare for me some tasty food so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock, bring me two choice young goats so that I can prevent some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. And then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you the blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I'm a smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and I would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say and go and get them for me." So he went out and he got them and he brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way that his father liked it. And then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and she put them on the younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands with the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. And then she handed to her son the tasty food that she had made ready. He went to his father and he said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" It's Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit down and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so that I can touch you, my son, to know that you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him, and he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." And Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and he kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and he said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons that your mothers bow down to, may those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you are blessed. And then go down to verse 41. And Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing of his father. And he said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. Now when Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for the younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is planning to avenge his death by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. And when your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you have done to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm disgusted with living because of this Hittite woman. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from the Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. So far, God's word. People of God, you and I have the joy of Mother's Day so very often, and we'd like to honor our moms. We pause to honor you as the godly women that you really are. We think of how God uses you in our homes, and we give you the honor and the praise. We think of what you have done for our children and our grandchildren. In our home, I've watched my wife raise 5 children, 15 stepchildren, grandchildren rather, stepchildren, or foster care children. Watched her with our 11 grandchildren, and I rejoice with her with our 2 great-grandchildren. But my wife is very concerned for every one of them. And like you, she probably spends a lot of time praying for those kids, praying that God will bless them, praying that they will remain faithful. We have a grandson that's just recently come back to the Lord after turning his back on him for some 6 years. And it's just a time of rejoicing, saying, God, keep him strong. Bring him back to you. Don't let him perish. We pray every day for him. But you know, we want to honor you as moms. But in our land, there's not always a lot of honorable women, are there? There are some that are very bad women in marriages and in homes, very bad moms. One of our foster children, or 3 of them, they were all from one family, when they came to us, they would tell us the things their mom did. She was a smoker, and if she got mad with them, she would grind her cigarettes out in their backs. If it happened to be summer and they had no shirts on, she would just burn right into her back with her cigarettes. She would beat them. She told them one time she was going to take them to a pool and teach them how to swim, and they were all excited about it. She took them in 12 feet of water, and she threw them in the middle, and she said, you better swim to the side or you're going to sink. What it did produced fear constantly in those children. And in the 2 years that we had them, it took us 2 years to get through that we weren't going to harm them, that there was always going to be food in the house, they were always going to have something to eat, and they didn't have to be afraid of going to sleep at night. Think of doing 2 years just to overcome those fears. But think about that. I want to have you think about this woman tonight that we're talking about, this Rebekah lady. This lady that was God's choice for Isaac. Remember the story how Isaac's dad had sent him the servant over to get a wife for his son and make sure she's the right one and watch for God's leading and so forth. And she brings back Rebekah. Now Rebekah and Isaac are married and they have these 2 boys, and it's been about 20 years. The boy's probably about 20 years old now. And Isaac is getting older. And he's losing his eyesight. Lost it so much that he couldn't tell one face from another. What happens often when people lose one sense, the other senses become stronger. People that are blind have an intense hearing capacity. people that are blind or maybe a little more hard of hearing has an increased sense of smell. So when you hear that story, you see what's happening. But I want to have you think about this lady for a minute and the lopsided love she had. And then think about the deceitful ways in which she acts. And then think about the sad personal loss that she has in her life. Think about that lopsided love. Think about that family where a mom and a dad are blessed with two boys and they each choose one. Favoritism is a horrible thing. My children used to ask me, Daddy, which is your favorite? They'd say, well, are you alone? They'd say, yeah. I said, then today you're my favorite. Another day, one of the other children come, Daddy, who's the favorite? I said, are you alone? Yeah, well, then you're my favorite. Because you're all my favorite children. But that didn't happen in Isaac and Rebekah's house, did it? For some reason, Jacob didn't like outdoor sports. He didn't like outdoor activity. He'd rather be around the house. He'd rather be baking and doing those things, cooking. What a wonderful thing that he chose that. But his brother was an outdoorsman. He was a hunter. He liked to go to the field. He liked to bring in the game. He was the man's man, and that really appealed to his dad. And so you see a division in the marriage coming already, a lopsided love between husband and wife. Instead of a relationship where they said to one another, we have a job to do here to love both of our sons equally. We both have to be doing that. One chooses one chooses the other. And so a lopsided love with the kids produces a lopsided love in the marriage. And the marriage begins to crumble. As mom favors the one, dad favors the other. Remember, you have to go back the story before this where Jacob is busy cooking in the house and he's got this huge pot of stew going and his brother comes in after a day of hunting and he's starving. And he says, you know, I'm going to die. I'm so hungry. You ever feel that way? I'm going to die that I'm so hungry? You're really not going to die. It'd take you 7 days to die without food, maybe longer. But he feels that way. I'm going to die without. And so his brother says to me, sell me your birthright for a bowl of stew. What's it going to be for me anyway? If I'm dead, I might say, well, I'll agree to that. So he does. It's a trick, isn't it? Jacob has learned already from his mom certain ways that you have to treat people. This is another story. And as mom is listening at the door when Esau goes in to dad, she overhears what's being said. And her lopsided love says, Esau doesn't have a right to that. I never liked that boy anyway. Jacob has the right. He's got to be the chosen one. He was the second born. He was not the chosen one. The blessing was reserved for the first one. And so when Isaac, who has now lost his vision, goes to his son and says, go out and hunt and bring me it in, and then I will give you the blessing. There comes that lopsided love in play again, doesn't it? His love for this son is not so much love for the other one, and the mom's love the other way around. Then she does something, and I want you to notice the deceitful things that she does. It's not just deceit of the boys. It's deceit of her husband. As she overhears what her husband says, she sets up a deceitful pattern in Jacob's life again. And that's why I want to have you notice in verse 8 what she says. Listen carefully to what I say. And she gives him the instructions. Go to the flock, bring me two young goats, and I'll cook them for you. For him, it probably didn't sound like too much, but then she adds, and I will cook them the way that your father likes them. She's not just hatching the plan, she's participating in the plan. And if you see that deceit for her husband comes out of it, not a love for her husband, comes out of a way of tricking him into getting her own way. If I do this, then my son, my favorite son, will get the blessing. And that's exactly what she's all about. Bring me the goats, and I will fix the soup. Bring me some skin, and we'll take care of that problem that you're worried about because your skin is too smooth. When you rub it, it feels too smooth. And so I'll fix that so that Dad won't be able to tell that. And you know what else? He's going to know that you don't smell right. Even though he can't see you, he's going to be smelling you. So she goes and gets the coat that her son should have been wearing. Did you notice her participation in the deceit? She's doing the cooking. She developed the plan. She decides on where to put the skins to cover his smooth hands and his smooth neck. She gets the garment to fool her husband. All of this is the big facade, not just so much for Jacob, but for her husband Esau. Mom and Dad should be standing on the same page. She should have been saying, we got to trust God in this. But this again shows a lack of faith, doesn't it? She should have been saying, but in my faith, in my trust, I know this is the plan that God has, and I have to leave it rest there. It has to be God's will and not my will. But as she's waiting and as she's wondering, she hatches the plan of full deceit and she helps carry it out. Now, she's taught her son some pretty nasty lessons. She taught him, you don't have to be always truthful. I wanted my children to know it was more important to be truthful. I wanted my children to know that if they got in trouble at school, they were in trouble at home, because I'm going to take the word of the teacher unless you prove differently. One time, one of our daughters was a senior in high school, and their four girls decided they were going to go to Kalamazoo and get their dresses for prom, and so they went. And the principal called because there was what they called a personal day, and you could go take a day off from school, and you could go away with your parents. So I gave Christy permission to use her day off to go with her friends. So the principal calls me and said, Mr. Norman, do you realize your daughter wasn't in school today? I said, yes, I did. She had her personal day today. Well, where is she? Was she with you? And I said, no. As she did with the other three girls, they went to Kalamazoo shopping. Yeah, but those girls were sick. I said, no, they weren't. They were all four together. Well, what they told us is they're sick. So we have to take their word. My daughter got a seventh hour. She had to stay an extra hour and got demoted one grade in her grades, one half a grade, because she had skipped school when she shouldn't have. And she was very upset about that. I said, honey, you learned a more important lesson. It's more important to be truthful and to suffer the consequences than it is to lie to get your own way. That's not what Rebecca taught her son, was it? She taught her it's okay to lie if you need to get your own way. It's okay to do anything. So when he goes into his dad and he's got all these fears going through his head, you know, he's going to think that it's not me, and he's going to smell me, and he's going to feel my hands, and he's going to hear. And what's the first thing Esau says, or Isaac says when Jacob comes in? The first thing he says, come closer so I can feel you. And as he feels, he said, the hands feel like my son's Esau. And by that time, he's got a whiff of his garments. He knows what he's smelling. He's smelling the outside. That's really what he wanted. But the voice is the voice of my son Jacob. Every one of you parents that have children, you know when you hear their voice. You don't even have to see them. When they walk in, you know which one it is, don't you? Just by the tone of their voice. Jacob was that way. He had that voice, a certain voice that was different than Esau. And so when Isaac hears his voice, he knows something. So he asks him, who are you? So remember, it's okay to lie if you want to get your own way. So Jacob says, I'm your son Esau. A little later on, after all the sniffing and the detective work that Dad's trying to do to figure this out, he asks him again, are you really my son Esau? And the answer comes back, yes, I am. Now remember, Mom said it's okay. Do exactly as I tell you. That's what she told him, didn't she? Go and do this, listen carefully, verse 8, and do exactly as I tell you, and you will get the blessing. What a deceitful lady she was. She deceived her husband. She deceived her sons. She really isolated herself in the family, didn't she? Who's going to trust her anymore? Who's going to be the one that trusts? We had a relative that told some pretty whopping stories, and I asked my mother one time, I don't know what to believe when that person says that. It was happens to me and my mother's relation. She said, well, take half of what she says, and then take half of that again, and you'll be somewhere near the truth. That's what she was known as. She was known as one who stretched the truth immensely. This was this lady who said to her son, as long as you do it, the ends justifies the means. God says never does. If you want to walk the way of faith, you have to be willing to suffer the consequences. Now I think of Rebecca, I can almost see her sitting in the tent. Now she's really smugly happy because she saw Jacob getting the blessing. And she knew that was going to be. And she sees Esau coming in, and he's rumbling around there, and he's grumbling some. Probably a little bit worrisome to Mom because she knows what a hothead he is. And so she overhears him saying to someone in the household, I'll just hang in here until my dad dies, and then I'm going to kill my brother, and the blessing will be mine. This is what mother reaps. If you notice then the sad consequences, the personal loss that she has, didn't even think that far, did she? Number one, she's lost the respect of her husband, which he probably had lost long before that because of her conniving ways. But she continues to drive that wedge into marriage that says there is no union between mom and dad here. There's no union between husband and wife. I will deceive you any way I can just to get my way. My wife always tells the story of her grandma. Her grandma loved to have these nice bonnets back when ladies wore hats to church. Grandma loved hats. And she would go downtown shopping and she'd buy four or five hats and she'd bring them home and she'd put them on the shelf in her closet and wouldn't say anything. And about a month later, she'd come out wearing one of her hats and grandpa would say, you get a new hat? And she'd, no, this has been on the shelf for months. She got her way, but she lied about it, right? It wasn't really a lie. It was what we called a white lie. It's still a lie because it had been on the shelf for months, but she did buy a new one. And then a few months later, she'd take out another hat. And did you get a new hat? No, same story. Can you see this happening here? I really want my boy to have that blessing, and I'll do anything to get it for him. She loses the respect, total respect of her husband. She realized that he realized she's deceived him as well as Jacob has deceived him. Mother's behind this whole scheme. Then she overhears the threat and she's going to experience a greater loss. When she hears Jacob, has Jacob come in and she's overheard this threat that's been made, she said to Jacob, what I want you to do, I want you to go to my brother Laban and hang out there and stay there because once you're there, you're going to be safe for a while. It's quite a ways away and your brother won't get to you there. Just stay there until he cools off. And once the hothead has cooled down, I'll send for you. That's her plan. See, a plan again. But then she kind of carried that plan out somehow, so she goes to her husband again. More deception. I think we really ought to send Jacob away. You know, Esau was so mad he married that Hittite woman, and I can't stand that woman. She's just polluting our son. I can't stand what she's doing. I'm afraid Jacob's going to do the same thing. Can't we please send him back to my brother Laban just to get him out of the danger of marrying a pagan? And when things are settled down, then we'll be all set again. And she tells him, when you go, hang out by Uncle Laban, and when the coast is clear, I'll send the message, it's okay to come home. She lost the respect of her husband. She probably angered her older son so much because he realized that she was the head of the deceit, so much that he probably has no respect for her, probably even hates her for what he did to her. And she loses her youngest son because he goes away. In the 20 years that Jacob is away by Laban, remember, 7 years for one wife, he experienced deceit from his uncle. 7 years for the next wife, he experiences deceit once more. 6 more years for the cattle, he was supposed to serve 7, but he sneaks out on his uncle. All those things come to pass in her life. She lost the respect of her husband. She lost the respect of her oldest son, probably hated her. She lost her youngest son because she never sees him again. Never had an opportunity to say welcome home because she dies before he comes back. The consequences of sin are horrible. And the lessons that we learn in terms of how do we conduct business in our own families, how do we know what we're going to do next? Mom and Dad have to stand strong. You have to be one. We had a rule in our house, and we had 5 kids who were tried to be masters at playing Mom and Dad against each other. They'd go to Mom and they'd say, Mom, what about this? And Mom would say, no. And so they'd come to me and say, Dad, can I do this? And I'd say, because they knew Dad was probably the bigger pushover. My first question was, what did your mother say? Mom told me no. Well, then the answer is no. If it was reversed, we'd do the same thing. If it was some major thing that really needed an answer fairly quickly, the next sentence was, Mom and I will talk about it and we'll let you know in an hour or so. Trying to present a united front in front of your children. So they knew Mom and Dad were on the same page. Didn't always make them happy. But they knew that we had a stand, and we're still 58 years into marriage, we still try to do that every day. Don't say something and let your mate say something different. You're one in the Lord. When you marry, you become one, and you live as one. God has blessed. And if you look at Isaac and Rebekah, you look at Jacob and Esau, you see the lessons of Mother's Day, where we have to say, you have to be the mom that demands respect. You have to be the mother that shows being a faithful woman. You have to be that person that we as husbands can love, that one that's described in Proverbs 31, but also that our children say she is holy and she's respectable. So, ladies, today we honor you. We give God the praise for you. Constantly walk in agreement with your husband in the way that you raise your family. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege that we have of worship, for the opportunity that tonight we could take a look at one of those passages of Scripture that talks about what sin does promote in marriage and how sin can sometimes destroy a household. And we pray, Father, that you would bless us then as we seek to install that in our own life and to go forward instilling that in people's lives that they can see Jesus in us. Bless us now further tonight as we continue to praise you and help us to see your goodness in our life, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to invite you to sing with